In animation, a woman stands on a pedestal holding up a torch, forming a logo, Columbia Pictures. Titles, Columbia Pictures presents. Stand by Me. In daytime, a green Land Rover station wagon sits on a road surrounded by dry crop fields. At the wheel, a clean-shaven middle-aged man waits pensively. He looks morose. A newspaper title reads, Attorney Christopher Chambers fatally stabbed in restaurant. Two children pass by on bicycles and the man watches them ride away.
I was 12 going on 13 the first time I saw a dead human being. It happened in the summer of 1959, a long time ago. But only if you measure in terms of years.
A kid around 12 years old picks out a True Police Cases magazine, pays for it, and leaves the store.
I was living in a small town in Oregon called Castle Rock. There were only 1,281 people, but to me, it was the whole world.
He walks down a sunny sidewalk.
Hey, it's the boss man, Bob Cormier here. It's a beautiful Friday morning in Portland. It's 90 KLAM degrees and getting
He wears a red t-shirt.
I'm with another flatter. It's Bobby Day with Rockin' Robin.
He walks over a ditch into a dirt field and up to a ladder leading to a raggedy treehouse on a large tree. He climbs into the treehouse where a blonde kid smokes and plays cards.
Ed, how do you know a Frenchman's been in your backyard?
I am French, okay?
Your garbage cans are empty and your dog's pregnant.
A kid with glasses frowns.
Didn't I just say I was French?
I knock.
The kid in the red t-shirt sits with them.
29. 22.
Piss up a rope.
He picks up the magazine.
Gordy's out. Old Gordy just bit the bag and stepped out the door.
Annoyed, he reads. The kid with the glasses blows smoke.
Teddy Duchamp was the craziest guy we hung around with. He didn't have much of a chance in life. His dad was given to fits of rage. One time he held Teddy's ear to a stove and almost burned it off.
I knock.
The blonde kid frowns.
Before I pile of shit.
A pile of shit has a thousand eyes.
He looks at the kid reading the magazine.
What? What's so funny? Come on, I got 30. What have you got?
16.
The blonde kid drops his cards.
Keep laughing.
You're down your ride, pal.
Chris Chambers was the leader of our gang and my best friend. He came from a bad family, and everyone just knew he'd turn out bad, including Chris.
It's not the secret knock.
I forget the secret knock. Let me in.
Vern.
The blonde Chris moves a makeshift table, and the heavyset Vern pops up.
Oh, man, you guys.
He climbs into the room.
This is so boss. Oh, man, wait till you hear this. Wait till you hear this. You won't believe it. It's unbelievable.
The others gather around.
Let me catch my breath. I ran all the way from my house.
I ran all the way home.
Come on, come on. You guys listen to me. This is boss. Come on.
Sorry.
Sorry. Okay, forget it. I have to tell you enough.
Chris feigns concern.
What is it, man? Okay, great. You won't believe this. Sincerely.
I ran all the way home.
Screw you guys.
He deals cards.
What is it?
Can you guys camp out tonight? I mean, if you two or your folks are gonna tent out my backfield?
Yeah, I think so. Except my dad's kind of on a mean streak. You know, he's been drinking a lot lately.
You got you, man. Sincerely, you won't believe this. Can you, Gordy?
Yeah, probably.
Gordy, the kid in the red shirt, reads.
I knock.
What? You liar. You ain't got no pad hand. You didn't deal with yourself no pad hand.
Make you draw a shit heap.
You guys wanna go see a dead body?
They all stare at Vern, and Gordy sits up.
Well, I was under the porch digging, you know?
We all understood what Vern meant right away.
A house sits on a corner.
At the beginning of the school year, he had buried a quart jar of pennies underneath his house. He drew a treasure map so he could find them again. A week later, his mom cleaned out his room and threw away the map. Vern had been trying to find those pennies for 9 months.
Under the house, Vern digs frantically.
He didn't know whether to laugh or cry.
He looks up tensely.
Jesus Christ, Billy, we gotta do something.
Why?
Two young men stand on the porch.
I saw him.
So? It ain't nothing to us. The kid's dead, so it ain't nothing to him neither. And who gives a shit if they ever find him? I don't.
Vern spies from below, and dust falls on his face.
But it's that kid they were talking about on the radio. Brocker. Or Brower, or Flowers, whatever his name is.
He crawls around, following them.
The train must have hit him.
The blonde and dark-haired young men leave.
We had all followed the Ray Brower story very closely because he was a kid our age. 3 days before, he had gone out to pick blueberries, and nobody'd seen him since.
Vern watches through the porch's lattice.
You don't go squawking to the cops after you boosted a car, you idiot. They're gonna want to know how the hell we got way out on Back Harlow Road. Now they know we don't got no car. It's best we just keep our mouths shut, and then they can't touch us.
Look, we can make an ominous call.
They trace those calls, stupid. I seen it on Highway Patrol and on Dragnet.
The dark-haired man walks away.
I just wish we never boosted that goddamn Dodge.
The blonde follows.
I wish Ace had been with us. Could have told the cops he was in his car.
Well, he wasn't.
We gonna tell him?
We're not gonna tell nobody. Nobody never. You take me?
At the treehouse.
I know the Back Harlow Road. It comes to a dead end by the Royal River. The train tracks are right there.
Teddy gestures profusely.
Man, my dad used to fish for cossies out there.
Jesus Christ, man. If they would have known you were under there, they would have killed you.
Could he have gotten all the way from Chamberlain to Harlow? That's really far.
Sure. He must have started walking on the train tracks and just followed them the whole way.
Gordy nods.
Yeah, right. And then after dark, train must have come along and I'll smacko.
Yeah.
Vern shakes his head slowly. They turn to Chris.
Hey, you guys, I bet you anything that if we find him, we'll get our pictures in the paper.
Yeah, we can even be on TV.
Sure.
We'll be heroes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Billy will know where I found out. He's not going to care. Because it's going to be us guys that find him, not Billy and Charlie Hogan in a boosted car. He'll probably pin a medal on you, Vern.
Vern smiles.
Yeah, you think so?
Sure.
What will we tell our folks?
Exactly what you said. We'll all tell our folks we're tenting out in your backfield. You tell your folks you're sleeping over at Teddy's. Then we say we're going over to the drag races the next day. We're rock solid till dinner tomorrow night.
Man, that's a plan in the half.
Chris and Gordy do a handshake.
If we do find that kid's body over in South Harlow, they'll know we didn't go to the drag races.
Chris turns to Vern.
Nobody will care. Because everybody's going to be so jazzed about what we found, it's not going to make a difference.
Yeah. Well, my dad will hide me anyway, but hell, it's worth the hiding.
Shit, yeah.
Let's do it. What do you say?
All right.
Gordy.
Sure.
Vern?
I don't know.
Vern. Come on, Verno.
Vern.
Chris gives Vern a noogie as Teddy pinches his cheek. Gordy looks reluctant.
I wanted to share my friend's enthusiasm, but I couldn't.
In a backyard.
That summer at home, I had become the invisible boy.
A woman folds a clean sheet as a man does gardening.
Mom, you know where my canteen is? Mom!
She remains expressionless as Gordy pops out of a top floor window.
It's in Denny's room.
In April, my older brother Dennis had been killed in a Jeep accident.
Gordy frowns.
4 months had passed, but my parents still hadn't been able to put the pieces back together again.
A door opens and Gordy slowly steps into a room. Trophies sit on a shelf and pictures of a dark-haired kid, then young adult, hang on a wall next to Castle Rock and Michigan State University pennants. In a black-and-white prom picture, Denny hugs a dark-haired girl. Gordy slowly walks up to a closet door. He opens it, then leans in and picks out a round metal canteen. He looks at it sadly. In a flashback, a teenage Denny places a black cap on Gordy's head.
And Gordy, I got something for you.
This, my friend, is for you.
Gordy holds it in his hands in awe.
This is your Yankee cap.
No.
Denny puts it back on his head.
It's good luck cap. You wear that cap, you know how many fish we're gonna catch?
How much?
Bazillion fish. And it looks good on you too, just like that.
He pulls it down.
Hey, Mom, I'm going blind.
Hey, don't start with me, porcupine. Give me a hug.
They hug and smile.
You found it.
Huh?
In present day, Gordy turns to his dad.
You found it.
Yeah.
Gordy walks out and his dad shuts the door.
Why can't you have friends like Dennis?
Gordy stops and turns around.
Dad, they're okay.
Sure they are. A thief and two thieves.
Chris isn't a thief.
He stole the milk money at school. He's a thief in my book.
As his dad walks away, Gordy watches gloomily, then steps into another room. Later, he walks down a sidewalk wearing the Yankees cap, a knapsack, and the canteen.
It was almost noon as we set out to find the body of a dead kid named Ray Brower.
Right here, Cole!
An old pickup truck carrying hay stops by.
Thanks a lot.
Sure thing.
Gordo!
Chris hops off the cargo area carrying a mat.
Want to see something?
Sure, what?
He holds an arm around Gordy's shoulder as they walk.
What is it?
They run away.
What is it?
Gordy follows him to the back door of a diner. Chris looks around, reaches into his camping mat, and takes out a handgun.
The Lone Ranger, the Cisco Kid.
Gordy smiles.
Talking Jesus.
And takes the gun.
Where'd you get this?
Hocked it from my old man's bureau.
He squints as he aims.
45.
I can see that.
He pulls the hammer.
You got shells for it?
Yeah.
I took all that was left in the box. My dad'll think that he used them himself, shooting at beer cans while he was drunk.
Is it loaded?
Hell no. What do you think I am?
Startled.
Jesus! Let's get out of here! Come on!
They run away.
Gordy, Daddy!
And Chris bumps into a garbage can. A woman walks out of the diner.
Hey, who did that? Who's letting cherry bombs off out here?
She has big blonde hair and glasses. The kids run around a corner.
I've seen your face. Damn, that was cool.
Gordy looks angry.
It's really fine.
You knew it was loaded, you wet end. I'm gonna be in trouble now. That Tupper babe saw me.
Shit, Gordy, she thought it was firecrackers.
I don't care. That was a mean trick, Chris.
Hey, Gordy.
Chris stops him.
I didn't know it was loaded. Honest.
You swear?
They stare at each other.
Yeah, I swear.
On your mother's name?
Yeah.
Even if she goes to hell because you lied?
Yeah, I swear.
Gordy raises a pinky.
Pinky swear.
Chris kisses a pinky and pats Gordy.
Pinky swear.
Two teenagers walk out of a store. The taller one steals Gordy's hat.
Hey, girls, where are you going?
Hey, come on, man. My brother gave me that.
And now you're giving it to me.
Give it to
me! He holds it away from him.
Come on, man! That's mine!
And pushes Gordy away.
You real asshole, you know that?
He glares at Chris, tosses a cigarette, and hands the cap to the shaggy-haired Eyeball.
Brother's not very polite, Eyeball.
Now, Christopher, I know you didn't mean to insult my friend.
I know I didn't mean to insult me.
He faces Chris.
That's why I'm going to give him the opportunity of taking it back.
He grabs him by the neck and presses him against the sidewalk.
Oh, shit.
Take it back.
Oh, come on, man, stop it. You're hurting him.
He picks up the cigarette.
Stop it, man.
Get
it out.
Eyeball grins.
Back.
Okay, I take it back.
He throws the cigarette and pulls Chris back up.
There. I feel a whole lot better about this.
He smiles.
How about you?
The boys frown.
Good.
He pats Gordy on the cheek and leaves.
See you later, girls.
Eyeball grins and follows him. Shaken, Chris turns and steps away, but Gordy glares at the bullies. Chris grabs him by the shoulder.
Come on, just forget him.
They walk away, and Chris playfully kicks Gordy in the backside. Gordy kicks him back. Later, the four friends reach a train track at a fork.
Well, what do we need a pistol for anyway?
Spooky sleeping out at night in the woods. We might see a bear.
Or a garbage can.
They walk along the tracks.
I brought a comb.
What do we need a comb for?
Well, if we get on TV, we want to look good, don't we?
A lot of thinking, Vern.
Thanks.
Teddy scares Vern.
Flinching.
Then punches him twice. They all stare at a railway bridge.
How far do you think it's going to be?
If we follow the tracks all the way into Harlow, it should be about 20 miles. Sound about right to you, Gordy?
Yeah, it might even be 30.
Gee, maybe we should just hitchhike.
They cross the bridge.
No way, that sucks.
Why not? We could go out to Route 7 to the Shiloh Church, then down the back Harlow Road. We'll be there by sundown.
The
That's pussy.
Hey, it's a long ways.
Did your mother ever have any kids that lived?
Teddy stops Vern.
What do you mean?
He keeps walking and Vern catches up. Later, they follow the tracks along a valley covered in pine tree forest.
Have gun, will travel, reads the card of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire, he's the calling wind. A soldier of fortune, he's a man called Paladin.
Chris takes the canteen from Gordy and drinks.
Paladin, we have to fill up Paladin, the junkyard. My dad's headed to safe. Well, not if Chopper's there.
He returns it to Gordy and kicks the dirt.
Hey, I'm kind of hungry. Who's got the food?
Chris turns around and they all stop.
Did anybody bring anything?
He shrugs.
Not me. Gordy?
Gordy shakes his head.
Oh, this is great. What are we supposed to do? Eat our feet?
You mean you didn't bring anything either?
Well, shit, this wasn't my idea. It was Vern's idea. Why didn't you bring something?
What am I supposed to do? Think of everything? I brought the comb.
Oh, great, you brought the comb. What do you need a comb for? You don't even have any hair.
He stands between Teddy and Vern.
Let's see how much money we got.
They all drop their bags and search their pockets.
Yeah, I got.
They sit on the tracks.
And 68 cents from Chris.
Gordy collects coins.
60 cents from Teddy.
Vern hesitantly hands over his coins and Gordy stares at him.
7 cents, Vern.
I haven't found my pennies yet.
Well, 237's not bad. Quita Cholos is at the end of that little road that goes by the junkyard. I think we can.
Chris looks
up
and stands.
Train coming.
In the distance, a train spews black smoke as it approaches. The kids hop off the tracks, but Teddy stands up and faces the train.
Come on, Teddy.
No. I'm gonna dodge it.
He chucks his mat.
Come on, Teddy, man. Get off the tracks. You're crazy.
Train dodge. Dig it.
Chris looks anxious.
Get the hell off the tracks, Teddy! You want to get yourself killed?
Just like the beach in Normandy.
Teddy looks frenzied as he stares at the approaching train. He mimics the act of shooting a machine gun at the train.
Come on, no, no, come on!
Flustered, Chris drops his mat and struggles with Teddy. He drags him off the tracks as Teddy struggles angrily. As Vern restrains Teddy and Gordy stops Chris from beating him up, the train passes by. Chris and Teddy glare at each other.
I don't need no babysitter.
I do too.
Vern and Gordy look stirred. Chris takes a breath and raises his hand towards Teddy.
Skin it.
Who shakes his head?
I could have dodged it.
He steps away and Chris follows him.
Listen, Teddy, you can dodge it on the way back, man.
He grabs him.
Peace.
And offers his hand again.
Skin it.
Teddy looks hesitant as they stare at each other, then reluctantly does a sliding handshake with Chris, who pats him on the shoulder. The four kids collect their bags and continue walking along the tracks. Now a hand-painted mailbox reads the Roslins, home sweet home. It collapses as the tall bully swings a bat from a moving convertible with Eyeball at the wheel.
Charlie and Billy were playing mailbox baseball with Ace and Eyeball.
The blonde Charlie and dark-haired Billy drink beers in the back seat.
Shouldn't have gone for a wooden one.
Why don't you tell me something I don't know, asshole?
Ace frowns at Eyeball.
Billy, you're up.
You guys win. I don't want.
He turns to the other two.
Hey, you can't quit.
Billy puts down the bat.
Three innings. That would be a non-official game.
And elbows Charlie.
Hey, Ace.
Ace looks at them.
What's with you, homos? Been acting psycho all day.
Billy acts nonchalant.
What is it?
It's nothing. It's nothing, right?
Then if you gentlemen don't mind, I'd like to finish this game before I start collecting my goddamn social security, okay? You're up, Billy.
All right.
He grabs the bat and stands up.
Let's play ball!
He wrecks a mailbox. Now a wooden sign on a run-down metal fence reads, "No trespassing. Keep out." The four friends cling onto a fence and look at old cars and junk in a junkyard. Another sign reads, "Castle Rock Salvage."
Hey, Vern, Looks like your ma's been out driving again.
Oh, it's so funny, I forgot to laugh.
Teddy chucks his mat over the fence.
Stand back, men!
The others toss their mats and they all climb the fence.
No trespassing was enforced by Milo Pressman, the junkman, and his dog Chopper, the most feared and least seen dog in Castle Rock. Legend had it that Milo had trained Chopper not just to sick, but to sick specific parts of the human anatomy.
One by one, they hop over the fence.
A kid who had illegally scaled the junkyard fence might hear the dread cry, "Chopper, sick balls." But right now, neither the dread Chopper nor Milo was anywhere in sight.
As Vern and Teddy step away, Gordy and Chris pick up their gear.
Teddy's crazy.
What's up here?
Teddy gestures at them and runs.
Yeah, he won't live to be 20, I bet.
Remember the time you saved him in the tree?
Yeah. You know, I dream about that sometimes.
Chris nods.
Except in the dream, I always miss him. I just get a couple of his hairs and down he goes.
They walk slowly.
It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
But you didn't miss him. Chris Chambers never misses, does he? Not even when the ladies leave the seat.
Chris makes a circle with his fingers and spits through it.
Hey, Rice, yeah?
No, I don't.
Oh, right to the pump, man. Come on.
I'm kind of tired.
Go!
Gordy darts off.
Dead man, LeChance! It looks like LeChance has got him this time.
And Chris chases him.
But what's this?
They run across the junkyard.
LeChance is fading on it!
Chris overtakes Gordy.
The crowd goes wild!
Teddy pumps water as Vern holds a container. Chris and Gordy stop and bend over as they catch their breath. They smile and hug as they walk over to their friends. Now pebbles fall into a rusty can. The friends rest in the shade by a pile of trash as they chuck rocks at the can.
Hey, you guys been watching the Mickey Mouse Club lately?
Yeah.
I think Annette's tits are getting bigger.
Think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think he's right. I've been noticing lately.
Gordy teasingly points at his chest.
Bend around the side.
Annette's tits are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is really a good time.
He spits water into the can.
Vern didn't just mean being off limits inside the junkyard, or fudging on our folks, or going on a hike up the railroad tracks to Harlow. He meant
Chris imitates
things,
him.
But it seems to me now it was more.
As does Vern.
Everything was there and around us. We knew exactly who we were and exactly where we were going. It was grand.
Teddy spits water at Vern.
Gordy.
Gordy takes out a watch.
It's a quarter after one. We better go get the food. Junkyard opens at 3. Chopper will be here.
Ooh, sick balls.
Hugo, you can pick us up on the way back.
I'm not going alone. We should all go.
I'm staying right here.
Yeah, man, I'm not going. No, I'm not going anyway.
Girls, cool it. We'll flip for it.
Okay.
He searches his pocket.
That's you, Gordy. Out as a god.
Flippery, but...
As he hands out coins, they each flip one on the back of their hands and gather around to reveal the coins.
4 tails! Oh, Jesus, man, that's a Gucci.
Oh, come on, Vern, this doesn't mean anything.
No, man.
Let's go again.
No, man, a Gucci. That's really bad. You remember when Clint Bracken and those guys got wiped out on Weed Hill in Durham? Billy told me they were slipping for beers, and they came up with a Gucci just before they got into the car. And bang, they all got totaled. I don't like this.
As Vern sulks, the others flip their coins.
Nobody believes that crap about moons and goochers. It's
Teddy frowns.
Stuff. Now come on, flip again.
Come on, baby, let the good guy
roll. You gonna flip or not?
Come on, Vern, we don't have all day.
Vern reluctantly flips his coin and they all show.
You lose, Gordy!
Gordy collects the coins.
Gordy loses. Oh, Gordy just screwed the pooch.
Does the word retarded mean anything to you?
Gordy, go get the provisions, you morphidite.
Don't call me any of your mother's pet names.
He steps away and turns around.
Shut up.
I don't shut up.
Shut up. I grow up.
And when I look at you, I throw up.
And then your mother comes around the corner and she licks it up.
Chris gives Vern a noogie.
Finding new and preferably disgusting ways to degrade a friend's mother was always held in high regard.
Teddy joins them and they roll in the dirt. The grocery store sits on a deserted junction. Inside, a shopkeeper grabs paper and dives into a fridge as Gordy places 6 bottles of soda on the counter.
Ain't you Denny LeChance's brother?
Yes, sir.
Wish shame what happened to him.
The men weighs meat.
Bible says in the midst of life we are in death.
Gordy glances at him.
Did you know that? I lost a brother in Korea.
The man nods pensively.
You look like your brother, Denny. People ever tell you that?
Sometimes.
He slaps the scale.
I remember the year was all conference. Quarterback he played.
Gordy looks pensive.
Boy, could he throw. Father God and Sonny Jesus.
In a flashback, he and Denny sit at a table with their parents and eat a meal.
Could be some scouts at the game tomorrow.
I don't know, Pop.
Dad, can I have the potatoes?
That's what I hear, son.
Are you going to see Jane after the game?
Denny shrugs.
I think she's a lovely girl.
Dad.
Their dad frowns.
Dorothy, don't talk to the boy about girls.
Dad.
He shouldn't be thinking about girls. This is the biggest game of his life.
His short-haired Dorothy passes
yes.
a bowl.
When you're out there tomorrow.
Pop, did you read the story that Gordy wrote? Gordy wrote a story. It was really good.
What did you write, sweetheart?
Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. Football takes concentration. You start in on the girls and his mind.
Denny leans over to Gordy.
Dorothy, I don't know how many
I really liked it.
I told you when I make
them. Thought it was great.
I don't want you interrupting.
Gordy smiles proudly.
I'm talking to the boy, don't you?
In present time, he remains still.
You play football.
Hmm?
Do you play football?
He glances at the shopkeeper.
No. What do you do?
I don't know.
He approaches.
Yeah, well, your brother Denny sure could play football.
And tosses a packet of bread on the counter as the man wraps up the meat.
Here you go, kid. Buck and a half a hamburger.
Gordy reaches into his coin pocket. Later, he walks into the junkyard looking sullen. He stops and looks around. He walks by a red tractor. In the background, a burly man unloads an old pickup truck. Gordy sees his friends climbing out of the junkyard.
Hey! Hey, you kid! What are you doing there? Come over here!
Milo approaches. Gordy darts off, and Milo runs after him. His friends cling onto the fence. Gordy runs in slow motion.
Now he said, sick 'em boy. But what I heard was, chopper sick balls.
The fence looks closer as he runs desperately. He jumps and latches onto the wire, then climbs over the edge and jumps. A light brown Labrador leaps up and runs around aggressively.
That's Chopper!
Chopper was my first lesson in the vast difference
Chopper
between
whines and lies.
Reality.
Chopper lies on his belly next to the fence. Teddy rubs his backside against the wire fence and Chopper bites his t-shirt. Milo reaches the fence.
Sonny, I'm gonna beat your ass teasing my dog like that.
Yeah, like she tried to climb over this fence and get me fat ass.
Don't you call me that, you little tin weasel peckerwood loony son.
Teddy suddenly looks somber.
What did you call me?
I know who you are. You're Teddy Duchamp. Your dad's a loony. A loony up in the nut house in Togas. He took your ear and he put it to a stove and he burnt it off.
My father stormed the beach in Normandy.
He's crazier than a shithouse rat. No wonder you're acting the way you are, with a loony for a father.
You call my dad a loony again, and I'll kill you.
Loony, loony, loony.
He leaps onto the fence.
Get up and shut down your neck!
The other kids drag him down.
Come on and try it, you little slimy bastard!
He wants you to go over there so he can beat the piss out of you!
Milo points at Chris.
You watch your mouth, smart guy! Let him do his own fighting!
Sure, you only outweigh my 500 pounds!
I know your name.
He points at Gordy.
You're the chance. I know all you guys. And all your fathers are going to get a call from me. Except for the loony up in Tokus.
He grins and Teddy clings onto the fence again. His friends drag him away.
Foul mouth, who am I?
The kids leave.
Come back here, you hear me?
Nobody wakes up, Albert.
Come back here.
My father started the beach.
I said come back here.
He started the beach, you faggot.
Later, as they walk into a woodland, Teddy weeps and Chris comforts him.
We showed him. Thought we were a bunch of pussies.
You ain't well bad.
I wondered how Teddy could care so much for his dad who practically killed him, and I couldn't give a shit about my own dad who hadn't laid a hand on me since I was three. And that was for eating bleach under the sink.
You raped my old man.
Chris shakes Teddy.
Why do you care what a fat old pile of shit like him says about your dad? He still stormed the beach at Normandy, right?
Yeah, forget it.
You think that pile of shit was at Normandy?
Forget it, all right?
You don't know nothing about your old man. He's just dog shit. Whatever is between you and your old man, he can't change that. Forget it, all right? Just forget it.
Teddy wipes his tears and sags his head as they keep walking. Gordy and Chris stare at Vern.
A knight without armor and a savage.
Teddy stops walking and the others look at him.
I'm sorry if I'm spoiling everybody's good time.
Chris pats him.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm not sure it should be a good time.
They peer at Gordy.
You saying you want to go back?
No. But going to see a dead kid... maybe it shouldn't be a party.
They look pensive.
Yeah. Like if he's really bad, like all cut up in blood and shit all over him, I might have nightmares.
They walk.
You know, like old guts and eyeballs already jumping grab.
Shut up, come on, God damn it!
I can't help it. Sorry.
They head into a forest.
It was only a quarter to three, but it felt much later. It was too hot and too much had happened. We weren't even close to the Royal River yet. We were going to have to get moving if we were going to make some real miles before dark.
I wonder.
A hand holding a razor carves the word cobra into a man's shoulder.
Hold still, will you?
Billy winces and smokes as Eyeball finishes the mark. The others sit in the background.
So, what's with you and this Connie Palermo chick?
I've been seeing her for over a month now, and all she let me do is feel her tits.
She's a Catholic, man. They're all like that. If you want to get laid, you gotta get yourself a Protestant.
Billy nods at Ace.
Choose good.
He chuckles.
A KLAM news break. We interrupt to bring you an update on the search for the missing 12-year-old Ray Brower. The police have expanded their efforts to include Mutton, Durham, and the outlying areas.
Charlie looks at the radio intensely.
Kid's gone. They're never going to find him.
Not where they're looking.
Hey, I was right, Charlie. They ain't never going to find him.
Would you hold still? You're making me fuck up the snake part.
Two light-haired teens also mark each other.
10 years from now, some hunter's going to go in the woods to take a leak. Wind up pissing on his bones.
I bet you $1,000 he find him before that.
Bet you $2,000 he don't.
Charlie stands up.
Hey, what's the big deal? Who cares?
Would you two just shut the fuck up? If either one of you assholes had $2,000, I'd kill you both.
Billy frowns.
Hey, we're back here with the boss man, Bob Cormier. From the racks and stacks, it's the best on wax. It's the Cornettes with Lollipop.
Deeper into the forest, the four friends keep following the tracks. Teddy and Vern dance walk, stepping two times to each side as they shake their arms. They pop their cheeks, then play air drums and continue. Some distance behind, Chris and Gordy walk slowly.
Hey, I got some Winstons. I'll come off my old man's dresser. One piece for after supper.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. It's when a cigarette tastes best. After supper.
Right.
Chris glances at his downcast friend from time to time. Gordy looks up.
Do you think I'm weird?
Definitely.
No, man, seriously.
He stops Chris.
Am I weird?
Who shrugs.
Yeah, but so what? Everybody's weird.
They keep walking.
You ready for school?
Gordy shrugs.
Junior high. You know what that means. The next junior will be split up. What are you talking about? Why would that happen?
He stops Chris again.
It's not going to be like grammar school, that's why. If you're taking your college courses and me, Teddy, and Vern, while we'll be in the shop courses with the rest of the retards making ashtrays and birdhouses. You're going to meet a lot of new guys. Smart guys.
Meet a lot of pussies is what you mean.
Chris points at him.
Don't say that. Don't even think that.
not going in with a lot of pussies. Forget it.
They walk.
Well, then you're an asshole.
What's asshole about wanting to be with your friends?
It's asshole if your friends drag you down. You hang with us, you'll just be another wise guy with shit for brains.
Ahead, Vern turns to Teddy.
You think Mighty Mouse could beat up Superman?
What are you, cracked?
Why not? I saw the other day he was carrying 5 elephants in one hand.
Boy, you don't know nothing. Mighty Mouse is a cartoon. Superman is a real guy. No way a cartoon could beat up a real guy.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Would be a good fight, though.
Behind them, Chris looks pensive.
I mean, you could be a real writer someday, Gordy.
Fuck writing. I don't want to be a writer. It's stupid. It's a stupid waste of time.
That's your dad talking.
Bullshit.
Full true. I know how your dad feels about you. He doesn't give a shit about you. Danny was the one he cared about. And don't try to tell me different.
Gordy looks down.
You're just a kid, Gordy.
Oh, gee, thanks, Dad.
Wish the hell I was your dad. You wouldn't be going around talking about taking these stupid shop courses if I was.
They stare at each other.
It's like God gave you something, man. All those stories that you can make up. And he said, this is what we got for you, kid. Try not to lose it. But kids lose everything unless there's someone there to look out for them. And if your parents are too fucked up to do it, then maybe I should.
Gordy peers at him intently.
Come on, you guys, let's get moving.
Yeah, by the time we get there, the kid won't even be dead anymore.
They keep walking.
Every day it's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster.
Later they walk along a curve in the tracks outside of the woods. Reach a flat railway bridge over a wide, slow-running river. They stop at the edge of the wooden bridge and look around.
Any of you guys know where the next train is to?
They look at Vern.
We could go down to the Route 136 bridge.
What are you, crazy? That's 5 miles down the river. You walk 5 miles down the river, you gotta walk 5 miles back. That could take till dark. We go across here, we can get to the same place in 10 minutes.
Yeah, but if a train comes, there's nowhere to go.
Well, there isn't. Just jump.
Teddy, it's 100 feet.
Yeah, Teddy.
Look, you guys can go around if you want to. I'm crossing here. And while you guys are dragging your candy asses halfway across the state and back, I'll be waiting for you on the other side, relaxing with my thoughts.
Chris looks thoughtful.
You use your left hand or your right hand for that?
You wish.
Teddy frowns at Gordy and begins crossing the long bridge as Chris and Vern follow. Gordy crouches and touches the track, then follows the pack. The wind blows in Teddy's hair as he leads the others across the battered wooden ties. Far below, the sun sparkles in the bluish-green water. Chris glances back at Gordy, who looks focused. Vern crawls, biting his tongue and hanging onto the tracks. A white comb starts to slide out of the chest pocket on his striped polo shirt. It slips out and he dives and watches it plunge into the river. He frowns and turns to Gordy.
I lost the comb.
Forget it, Vern.
Halfway across the bridge, Chris and Teddy shake their heads and continue walking. Gordy keeps walking one tie at a time. He stops and looks back at the curve leading to the bridge. He crouches and touches the metal thoughtfully. He looks back again as smoke rises from the forest. Alarmed, he springs up.
Train!
Chris and Teddy turn as the train appears on the curve behind them all.
Oh, shit.
Vern crawls frantically and the others run. Gordy shakes Vern and pulls him up. They run, but Vern trips. And clings onto his mat as Gordy shakes him. The train reaches the bridge. Vern stands up and runs. He sobs as he rushes desperately. As the train reaches the middle of the bridge, Chris and Teddy get to the other side, jump off the tracks, and turn around. As they cheer, the train inches closer to Gordy and Vern. The train approaches steadily, and Teddy and Chris freeze. Gordy shoves Vern off the tracks and jumps with him. As the train passes, the other two friends rush back to the bridge and look down. Gordy and Vern rub their heads as they sit up on a rocky, dusty cliff. Their friends look relieved.
Hey, at least now we know when the next train was due.
Later, the friends walk in the forest by a lake. At dusk, they sit around a small campfire.
Man, that was the old-time train dodge.
They cook potatoes on sticks.
Vern, you were so scared you looked like that fat guy Abbott Costello when you saw the mummy.
I wasn't that scared.
Vern.
No, really, I wasn't. Sincerely.
Okay, then you won't mind if we check the CD of jockeys for Hershey Squirts, will you?
Oh, screw.
Hey, Vern, you better turn yours over.
This is the way I like to do it.
Vern's potato falls into the fire.
Oh, man.
He struggles to fish it out.
Buddy, what am I supposed to eat?
Why'd you cook your dick? Be a small meal.
Screw you guys, I got it.
He waves around the charred potato. Now a full moon shines in the clear night sky. Chris lights Vern's cigarette, then his own. Vern takes a drag and smiles.
Nothing like a smoke after a meal.
Yeah, I cherish these moments.
Teddy holds a cigarette to his mouth ecstatically.
What? What did I say?
Vern looks around and Chris looks pensive.
Hey, Gordo, why don't you tell us a story?
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, come on, Gordo. But not one of your horror stories, okay? I don't want to hear no horror stories. I'm not up for that, man.
Why don't you tell us one about Sergeant Steele and his babbling leathernecks?
Well, the one I've been thinking about is kind of different. It's about this pie-eating contest. And the main guy of the story is this fat kid that nobody likes named Davy Hogan.
Like Charlie Hogan's brother, if he had one.
Good, Vern.
Chris rolls his eyes at Vern.
Go on, Gordy. Well, this kid, he's our age, but he's fat. Real fat. He weighs close to 180, but, you know, it's not his fault. It's his glands.
Oh, yeah, my cousin's like that. Sincerely, she weighs over 300 pounds. Supposed to be a high boy gland or something. Well, I don't know about any high boy gland, but what a blimp. No shit. She looks like a Thanksgiving turkey. And you know this one time?
You shut up, Vern.
Yeah, right. Go on, Gordy, it's a swell story.
Well, all the kids, instead of calling him Davy, they call him Lardass. Lardass Hogan. Even his little brother and sister call him Lardass. At school, they put this sticker on his back that says wide load, and they rank him out and beat him up whenever they get a chance.
The kids smoke as they watch Gordy intently.
But one day he gets an idea. The greatest revenge idea a kid ever had.
Gordy takes a drag. In daytime, a man slaps a microphone.
Now, the next contestant in the great Tri-County Pie Eat, Principal John Wigan.
A banner on a stage reads, Bake Off and Pie Eat. On stage, Principal John waves and joins a man at a table with five places.
And our celebrity contestant from KLAM in Portland, the boss man himself, Bob Cornier.
A young man walks onto the stage.
Hey, from the racks and stacks, it's the best on wax. How about another double golden oldie twin spin sound sandwich from KLAM in Portland?
As the young Bob approaches the table, a blonde girl in a red tutu takes his coat.
A newcomer to the fight, but one we expect great things from in the future, young Master David Hogan.
As the overweight David approaches, a man trips him, then feigns concern.
Are you all right, young man?
Hey, Lardass!
The man leans close into him.
I hear you got a big appetite, Lardass. Don't even think about winning this.
He dusts his back.
Boy, are you fat.
David stands up.
Don't pay any attention to those fools, Lardass. Just Davy.
The MC chuckles and leads David to the table.
Boom, baba, boom, baba.
He glares at old men wearing antler hats.
Boom,
he sits
baba,
at the table.
Boom, baba, boom.
And now, the one you've all been waiting for. The four-time champion, our own Bill Travis.
The tall man who threatened David hops onto the stage and shakes hands with the MC, who pulls him closer.
Listen, I got 10 riding on you myself, Billy boy.
The tall Bill heads over to the table.
All right, are you ready?
The five participants nod.
Hands behind your backs, gentlemen.
They hold their hands behind their backs.
Hey, Lardass, chow down, wide load.
Identical twins grin at each other.
Go!
The MC waves an arm. The contestants eat pie with no hands as an older man watches them closely. He waves a pie flag near David and the woman brings him another pie. She wears a sash that reads Miss Tri-County. Close-ups show each contestant diving into their pie. David finishes his second pie. And Bill glances at him. The woman serves David and Bill finishes his first pie. David finishes his third pie. Bill looks angry and the MC leans towards David.
You better brace yourself if you want to hold out, boy.
David dives into his fourth pie. In the audience, people of all ages clap and shake fists as they chant. The MC looks anxious. In present time, the campfire lights up the boys' faces.
The audience didn't know was that Lardass wasn't really interested in winning. What he wanted was revenge. And right before he was introduced, he'd gotten ready for it.
In the story, in a flashback, David looks around. He pulls a bottle of castor oil from his pants pocket and drinks profusely as he waits behind a tent.
And our celebrity contestant from KLAM in Portland, the boss man himself, Bob Cornell.
He finishes it, then reaches into his shirt pocket, pulls out an egg, and holds it above his gaping mouth. He cracks it and eats, looking disgusted. Back in the competition, the MC waves a hand and the woman serves David another pie.
Diving into his fifth pie, Lardass began to imagine that he wasn't eating pies. He pretended he was eating cow flops and rat guts and blueberry sauce.
The woman serves him another pie.
A sound started to build in Lardass' stomach. A strange
The other contestants
sound.
Look alert.
Like a log truck coming at you at 100 miles an hour.
David stands up and stumbles from side to side. Bill looks at him. David sways back and forth as he raises his arms, and the audience stares raptly.
Suddenly, Lardass opened his mouth. And before Bill Travis knew it, he was covered with pies.
With great force, he vomits on Bill's face.
The women in the audience screamed. Boss man Bob Cormier took one look at Bill Travis and barfed on
Disgusted, Bob turns to John.
Principal Wiggins barfed on a lumberjack that was sitting next to him. Mayor Grundy barfed on his wife's tits. But when the smell hit the crowd,
Gordy's friends look fascinated.
That's when Lardass' plan really started to work. Girlfriends barfed on boyfriends. Kids barfed on their parents. A fat lady barfed
David
in
looks
purse.
Pleased.
The Donnelly twins barfed
as people
on each
in the
other,
audience vomit purple liquid onto each other.
All over the benevolent order of antelopes. And Lardass just sat back and enjoyed what he'd created. A complete and total barforama.
At the campsite, Gordy's friends clap and shake their fists.
The best, just the best.
Yeah.
So what happened?
What do you mean?
I mean, what happened?
Gordy stares at Teddy.
What do you mean, what happened? That's the end.
How can that be the end? What kind of an ending is that? What happened to Lardass?
I don't know. Maybe he went home and celebrated with a couple of cheeseburgers.
He looks taken aback.
That ending sucks. Why don't you make it so that Lardass goes home and he shoots his father, then he runs away and he joins the Texas Rangers. How about that?
I don't know.
Something good like that.
I like the ending. The barfing was really good. But there's one thing I didn't understand. Did Lardass have to pay to get in the contest?
No, Vern. They just let him in.
Oh, great. Great story.
Yeah, it's a great story, Gordy. I just didn't like the ending.
Hey, Verno, where's the radio? Let's see if we can get some sounds.
Vern hands Chris a radio. The four friends sit back and relax.
We talked into the night. The kind of talk that seemed important until you discover girls.
All right. Mickey's a mouse. Donald's a duck. Pluto's a dog. What's Goofy?
If I can only have one food for the rest of my life, that's easy. Pez. Cherry flavored Pez. No question about it.
Goofy's a dog. He's definitely a dog.
I knew the $64,000 question was fixed. There's no way anybody can know that much about opera. He can't be a dog. He wears a hat and drives a car. Wagon Train's a really cool show, but did you ever notice that they never get anywhere? They just keep wagon training.
God, that's weird. What the hell is Goofy?
Not one of us mentioned Ray Brower, but we were all thinking about him.
Later, they sleep around the fire. Startled, Vern sits up.
Oh my God.
It's that Brower kid. His ghost out walking in the woods.
The others sit up, looking tense.
Oh, I promise I won't hawk no more dirty books. I promise I won't say no more bad swears. I promise I'll eat all my...
Teddy crawls up to Vern.
Do you flinch?
And punches him twice. Gordy crawls up to Chris, who holds up the gun.
What is it, Chris?
They look over their shoulders.
Maybe it's coyotes. Sounds like a woman screaming.
It's not coyotes. It's his ghost.
Oh, don't say that.
Teddy stands up.
Hey, Teddy, sit down.
I want to go look for it. I want to see the ghost.
Don't say that.
I just want to see it. I just want to see what it looks
like. He steps away, then quickly dives towards the fire with the others. Vern looks terrified.
Maybe we should stand guard.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Teddy reaches towards Chris.
Give me the gun. I'll take the first watch.
Later, the others sleep around the fire. A few steps away, Teddy stands firmly with the gun in his right hand.
2300 hours. Corporal Teddy Duchamp stands guard.
He looks towards the camp briefly.
No sign of the enemy. The fort is secure.
And shut up, Teddy, and keep your eyes peeled.
He lowers the gun. He presses a closed hand against his lips.
Do, do, do.
His friends squirm.
Oh, Teddy, cut it out.
Teddy,
I'm asleep.
Teddy sighs.
The dog faces rested easy in the knowledge that Corporal Teddy Duchamp was protecting all that was dear to them.
He raises the gun. Later, a distressed Vern holds the gun with both hands. He aims to his left, then to his right, then to the center, then turns around. He steps behind a tree. And aims nervously. Now Chris sits on the ground with his arms crossed as he holds the gun. He looks bored. He glances towards the fire, stands up, and walks over to the campsite. He sits by the fire and pokes it with a stick. Gordy squirms and winces in his sleep. Chris watches him with concern. He continues to poke the fire. In Gordy's dream, in a cemetery, grievers dressed in black gather around a plot and lower a casket into the ground. Gordy's mother sobs as his father and himself watch the casket go. His father touches his shoulder and Gordy looks up at him.
Should have been you, Gordon.
Gordy wakes up looking agitated.
Are you okay?
He looks at Chris.
You're dreaming.
He looks away and Chris continues to tend to the fire.
I didn't cry at Denny's funeral.
They look at each other.
I miss him, Chris.
Chris nods.
I really miss him. I know. Go back to sleep.
Still holding the gun, he stands up and walks back to his post, where he sits down. Gordy glances at him and walks over. He sits next to him and they furtively look at each other. They stare at each other and Gordy looks hesitant.
Maybe you could go into the college courses with me. That'll be the day. Why not? You're smart enough. You won't let me. What do you mean? It's the way that people think of my family in this town. It's the way they think of me. I'm just one of those low-life Chambers kids. That's not true. Oh, it is. No one even asked me if I took the milk money that time. I just got a 3-day vacation. Did you take it? Yeah, I took it. You knew I took it. Teddy knew I took it. Everyone knew I took it. Even Vern knew it, I think. Maybe I was sorry and I tried to give it back. You tried to give it back?
Surprised, maybe. Gordy peers at him.
Just maybe. And maybe I took it to old lady Simons and told her, and the money was all there. But I still got a 3-day vacation because it never showed up. And maybe the next week, old lady Simons had this brand new sugar on when she came to school.
Yeah, it was brown and had dots on it.
Yeah. So let's just say that I stole the milk money, but old lady Simons stole it back from me. Just suppose that I told this story. Me, Chris Chambers, kid brother to Eyeball Chambers. Do you think that anyone would have believed it?
Oh.
And do you think that that bitch would have dared tried something like that if it had been one of those douchebags from up on the View if they had taken the money? No way. Hell no. But with me?
Chris's eyes well up with frustration.
I'm sure she had her eye on that skirt for a long time. Anyway, she saw her chance and she took it. I was the stupid one for even trying to give it back.
He weeps.
I never thought a teacher. Oh, he's a fuck anyway. I just wish.
He shuts his eyes.
That I could go someplace where nobody knows me.
He rests his head on his crossed arms. He looks at Gordy.
I guess I'm just a pussy.
Who rubs his shoulder. The sun rises on the horizon. Gordy sits on a train track and reads a comic book entitled Gangbusters. He looks up as a young doe timidly walks towards him, sniffing the ground. He watches it and smiles. It raises its large ears, then crosses the tracks. Now a train passes.
The freight woke up the other guys, and it was on the tip of my tongue to tell them about the deer. But I didn't. That was the one thing I kept to myself. I've never spoken or written of it until just now.
The other kids wake up and scratch their heads. Later, the four walk along the tracks in the sun on a hot day as they lick their chocolatey fingers.
Why couldn't you get some breakfast stuff like Twinkies and Pez and root beer?
Sorry, Vern. I guess a more experienced shopper could have gotten more for your 7 cents.
They walk past the dripping water tank.
With our stomachs rumbling, we pressed on toward the Royal River. The reality of Ray Brower was growing and kept us moving despite the heat. For me, the idea of seeing that kid's dead body was starting to become an obsession.
Later, Chris stops walking and stares at something. The others stop and they all look over a field that leads to a river.
Gentlemen, the Royal.
Teddy looks around.
God, tracks go way out of the way.
If we cut across this field right here, we'll be there in an hour.
I think we should stick to the tracks.
I say we go across the field.
Gordy?
Gordy looks determined.
Yeah. Let's go. Take no prisoners!
He and Chris run. Teddy chases them downhill.
Hey, you guys, it's a lot safer if we,
Vern points vaguely.
Come on, man! Let's take us!
You don't know what's in those woods!
His friends keep running.
Let's go! We're gonna get...
Hey, you guys, wait up for me!
Vern chases after them. He trips and falls in tall, dry grass. In a smoky bar, Charlie and Ace play pool.
Ace, I gotta tell you something, but you gotta swear on your mother's good name that you won't tell anybody.
Ace aims and shoots. Now Billy and Eyeball stand on a bridge holding fishing rods.
Hey, Eyeball, you know that Brower kid? What about him?
Well, I could tell you something about him, but you gotta swear on your mother's good name you ain't gonna tell nobody.
Billy and Charlie had managed to keep their enormous secret for about 36 hours, a personal record for both of them.
Eyeball drinks beer.
By noon, Ace and Eyeball had told their secret to everybody in the gang.
The gang gets together.
Guys, protecting their mother's good name wasn't the top priority.
Hey, listen, Ace, maybe me and Charlie shouldn't go.
Yeah, maybe you can go without us.
Ace loads fishing rods into his car.
You guys were acting like my grandmother having a conniption fit. I don't see your problem. We go off with a whole bunch of fishing gear, and if a cop asks us what we're doing there, we're just here to take a couple steelhead out of the river. And look what we found.
Charlie and Billy look at the others.
Come on, man. We're going to be famous. We're going to be on every radio and TV show in the country.
I still don't think we should go. Okay.
Charlie and Billy look at the others.
You stated your position clearly.
Ace nods.
I'm going to stay mine.
He frowns.
Get in the fucking car. Now, let's go.
As Ace climbs into his convertible, the others get into a blue car. Eyeball shrugs at Billy. In the forest, the four friends walk in deep mud.
I hate this shortcut. I hate this shortcut.
Vern raises a fist and Teddy flinches.
You flinch! Don't be flinching!
Teddy punches him twice.
But you flinched.
I know. Two for flinching.
He smiles and walks away, leaving Vern confused. Chris and Gordy stop and look around. The others catch up. They all stare at a murky pond.
How are we supposed to get across this?
We use you as a raft.
Very funny.
Chris turns around and tears a dry branch off a tree. He tests the depth of the water.
Hey, you know, it's not that deep. You can walk across.
He chucks the branch and they all walk into the water. Suddenly the water deepens and they all fall in. As they stand up, the water reaches their necks.
Told you we should have stuck to the tracks.
Vern glares at Chris.
Is it me? Or are you the world's biggest pussy?
Teddy frowns at Vern.
I suppose this is fun for you.
No, but
he pushes
this
Vern
is...
into the water. Repeatedly.
Stop that, come on!
Come on, Teddy, act your age! This is my age! I'm in the prime of my youth, and I'll only be young once!
Yeah, but you're going to be stupid for the rest of your life.
Teddy and Vern grin.
Uh-oh. You just signed your own death warrant. You die, Chambers!
They try to sink Chris. As the three struggle playfully, Gordy moves away.
Vern, Teddy, you'll die.
Come on, Teddy, you're going to die.
Oh, please.
Chris turns around.
Chance.
Come on, you guys.
Gordy climbs out of the pond as the others chase him. Chris takes him down and they all jump onto him.
Sleeper hold, sleeper hold.
No one gets that. The sleeper hold.
Vern, there's something on your neck.
Yeah, right. I'm not falling for that one, Chance.
No, Vern, there is something on your neck.
It's a leech.
A huge leech clings onto Vern's neck. The four run away from the pond and take off their clothes, revealing their bodies covered in leeches. They desperately rip them off, leaving open wounds on their skin.
Get him off!
Lay off me! I'm done!
They remove them from each other's backs.
Get him off!
On your back!
Are there any online there?
Vern slaps and rubs himself. They all look disgusted. Gordy pauses, afraid, then peeks into his underwear. He looks distraught.
Oh, shit, Chris.
Chris stares at him.
Oh, shit, man.
They all watch Gordy with horror. Gordy slowly reaches into his briefs as his friends stare and pulls out a leech with his hand drenched in blood. He drops it and stares at his bloody hand. His eyes roll up and he faints.
Gordy, man, are you okay?
His friends rush over.
Can you hear me?
They all crouch around him.
Are you there?
Maybe he's dead.
He's not dead. He's still breathing, you idiot.
Well, I don't know.
Hey, it's cool, you guys. Just fainted. 40?
Chris shakes him gently, and Gordy comes too.
God, I've never met anybody who fainted before.
Teddy glares at Vern.
Maybe he made a bad mistake and looked at your face.
Shut up, Teddy. You okay, Gordy?
Gordy nods.
Yeah, let's go.
He gets up. Later, he rests against a tree away from the others. They all wear clothes.
Maybe we should take Gordy back.
Oh, great, Chambers. Now you're turning pussy, too.
What's your problem, Duchamp? He had a leech hanging from his balls. He fainted.
What are you, his mother?
Eat shit.
Teddy shoves Chris and Vern stands between them.
I think Chris is right. Let's go back.
Oh, what a surprise. The king of the pussies wants to go back, too.
Stop calling me that.
What, pussy?
Vern raises a finger.
Stop, pussy, 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 pussy.
You four-eyed psycho.
He tackles Teddy and beats him relentlessly.
Hey, don't punch him. You like it?
Chris holds him.
Break it up.
Stop it!
The other three stare at Gordy, who looks livid. He stands up.
I'm not going back.
He picks up his bag and walks away. Teddy shoves Vern.
Idiot. Shut up, retard.
They gather their bags and follow Gordy through the forest.
At the time, I didn't know why I needed to see that body so badly. Even if no one had followed me, I would have gone on alone.
Take out the papers and
the bullies speed down a road in their cerulean Studebaker Champion. Ace pulls up alongside in his gray convertible Ford Custom with Charlie and Billy.
No way, Ace! Not this time, man! No way!
The two cars speed head-to-head, and the blonde bully driving the Studebaker looks excited. A truck approaches head-on.
I got him!
Ace looks determined as he drives directly towards the truck.
Fall back, Ace. Come on, I'm fucking around.
In Ace's car, Charlie and Billy panic.
Jesus Christ, Ace, fall back, man!
Ace chews a toothpick. The huge truck swerves off the road, spilling its cargo of logs and heads into a field. The blonde bully gapes as Ace speeds by. Ace stares ahead, looking smug. He drinks his beer.
You let him beat you, you cock knocker.
In the forest, the four friends walk along the tracks once again.
Coming through the woods, I bet we saved over an hour.
Gordy looks to his right and stops.
Teddy?
Yeah?
He points.
This the back Harlow Road?
A sign by a trail reads, no hunting.
Brower kid must be around here someplace. Teddy, you and Vern watch the left side of the tracks. We'll take the right.
All right.
They continue along the tracks. Gordy and Chris look to the right and the others to the left. Vern points.
There he is! I see him! Look! Look over there! I see him!
The others rush to him. They all stare.
None of us could breathe. Somewhere under those bushes was the rest of Ray Brower.
A tangled body lies under a pile of branches by the river. Chris pushes Gordy and Vern aside and runs downhill towards the corpse. The others follow, and the group slows down as they reach the pile of bushes.
The train had knocked Ray Brower out of his keds, just like it had knocked the life out of his body.
A single sneaker lies on top of the pile.
The kid wasn't sick.
Chris picks up a stick.
The kid wasn't sleeping. The kid was dead.
Then moves a branch, revealing the dead kid's bloated face, with green eyes still open and dry blood on his forehead and nose. The friends stare at the corpse. Gordy looks sad.
Let's look for some long branches. We'll build him a stretcher.
They turn away. Vern and Teddy start collecting branches, and Chris stares at Gordy, who sits on a fallen tree.
Gordy?
Teddy and Vern approach. Gordy gazes away listlessly.
Why did you have to die?
What's the matter with Gordy?
Nothing. Why don't you guys just go over there and look for some branches, okay?
Okay.
Teddy and Vern step away, and Chris walks over to Gordy. He sits next to him. He looks at him intently as Gordy continues to look down.
Why did he have to die, Chris? Why did Teddy have to die? Why? I don't know. It should have been me. Don't say that. It should have been me. Don't say that, man. No good. My dad said it. I'm no good. He doesn't know you. He hates me. He doesn't hate you.
Gordy's face contorts.
He hates me.
No, he just doesn't know you.
He hates me. My dad hates me. He hates me. I'm no good.
Chris wraps an arm around him and comforts him as Gordy sobs on his shoulder.
Someday, Gordy. You might even write about us guys if you ever get hard up for material.
Chris rubs his shoulder. Gordy wipes tears off his face and looks at his friend as he forces a smile.
Guess I'd have to be pretty hard up.
Huh? Chris smiles.
Yeah.
What the fuck do you know about this?
They spring to their feet.
Some bitch. My little brother.
Ace and Eyeball approach.
He wasn't planning on taking the body from us, was he, boys?
Vern and Teddy rush back and stand by their friends.
Wait, man. We found him. We got dibs.
Eyeball looks at Ace.
Better start running, Eyeball. They got dibs.
We earned him, man. You guys came in a car. That's not fair. He's ours.
That's not fair. He's ours. Well, not anymore.
There's four of us, Eyeball. You just make your move.
Oh, we will. Don't you worry.
The other five bullies appear at the top of the slope by the tracks.
Vern, you little
saw it on
Charlie
the phone.
Descends.
He was under the porch.
No, no, I swear. It wasn't me.
Billy removes his belt.
I found it. Beat the living shit out of you.
Vern scurries away as Ace raises an arm. The bullies halt.
You guys have two choices. You either leave quietly, we take the body. Or you stay, we beat the shit out of you. We take the body.
Besides, me and Billy found him first.
Yeah, Vern told us how you found him.
Oh, Billy, I wish we never boosted that car. Oh, Billy, I think I just turned my Fruit Looms into a fudge factory.
That's
oh.
It. Your ass is grass.
Hold it.
Ace stops Charlie, then points at Chris.
Okay, Chambers, you little faggot. This is your last chance. What do you say, kid?
They stare at each other.
Why don't you go home and fuck your mother some more?
Eyeball sighs, and Ace takes out a switchblade.
You're dead.
Come on, Chris, split.
Ace approaches slowly.
They're not taking
him. Come on, man, this is crazy.
They're not taking him.
He's got a knife, man.
Ace, come on, man.
Teddy rushes away. Chris looks scared but doesn't budge.
You're gonna have to kill me, Ace.
No problem.
Ace puts the blade to his neck, then steps back. They all turn around to see a determined Gordy holding the gun with both hands. He glares at Ace as he stands by Chris.
You're not taking him. Nobody's taking him.
Come on, kid. Just give me the gun before you take your foot off.
Ace takes a step and Gordy aims at him.
You ain't got the sack to shoot a woodchuck.
Don't move, Ace.
Ace stops.
I'll kill you, I swear to God.
Come on, LaChance, give me the gun. You must have at least some of your brother's good sense.
Gordy pulls the hammer.
Suck my fat one, you cheap dime store hood.
Ace swallows and glances at Charlie.
What are you gonna do, shoot us all?
No, Ace. Just you.
Gordy trembles slightly. Ace raises his knife.
We're gonna get you for this.
Maybe you will and maybe you won't.
Oh, we will.
He nods at the others, who fall back and walk up the slope. Ace goes to follow, then turns back to the boys.
We're not gonna forget this if that's what you're thinking.
He points with a knife.
This is big time, baby.
Gordy holds his aim. Ace leaves, and Gordy lowers the gun. Chris smiles shakily.
Suck my fat one. Whoever told you had a fat one a chance?
Gordy smiles at him.
Biggest one in four counties. Yeah.
Chris pats him. They look at the corpse as Teddy and Vern approach. Vern looks at Chris.
We're gonna take him. No.
Gordy steps away.
But we came all this way. We were supposed to be heroes.
He turns around.
Not this way, Teddy.
He grabs a blanket.
Chris, give me a hand.
He and Chris unfold it.
Ray Brower's body was found, but neither our gang nor their gang got the credit. In the end, we decided that an anonymous phone call was the best thing to do.
The others pitch in and cover the corpse. At dusk, the four friends walk on a lakeside.
We headed home, and although many thoughts raced through our minds, we barely spoke.
At night, they walk across a crop field.
We walked through the night and made it back to Castle Rock a little past 5 o'clock on Sunday morning, the day before Labor Day.
At dawn, they cross a bridge.
We'd only been gone 2 days, but somehow the town seemed different, smaller.
They look tired. Now, in the town, they stop and look at each other.
Well, see you in school.
Chris nods.
Yeah. Yeah.
See you in junior high.
Vern looks sad. He walks away as the others watch. As he crosses a street, he picks something up and turns, smiling.
Penny!
Teddy shakes his head and smiles. Vern leaves.
Well, guys, I better get home before my mom puts me on Tamara's wanted list.
Teddy steps away, then turns around.
Hey, Chris. No hard feelings, okay?
No way, man.
He smiles and walks away towards a house on a slope.
Gun will probably be a part of a man. A knife without honor in a savage plan. Best friend for hire.
Chris and Gordy glance at each other, then walk along the street.
As time went on, we saw less and less of Teddy and Vern, until eventually they became just two more faces in the halls. It happens sometimes. Friends come in and out of your life like busboys in a restaurant. I heard that Vern got married out of high school, had four kids, and is now the forklift operator at the Arsenal.
They walk through the empty town.
Teddy tried several times to get into the army, but his eyes and his ear kept him out. Last I'd heard, he'd spent some time in jail and was now doing odd jobs around Castle Rock.
Later, they stand side by side near the treehouse and look out onto the town.
I'm never going to get out of this town, am I, Gordy?
Gordy peers at Chris.
You can do anything you want, man. Yeah. Sure.
Chris looks at him. He smiles.
Give me some skin.
They do the sliding handshake. They smile slightly at each other.
I'll see you. Not if I see you first.
Chris walks away slowly.
Chris did get out. He enrolled in the college courses with me, and although it was hard, he gutted it out like he always did. He went on to college and eventually became a lawyer.
Gordy watches him with a smile.
Last week, he entered a fast food restaurant. Just ahead of him, two men got into an argument. One of them pulled a knife. Chris, who had always made the best peace, tried to break it up.
Chris turns and waves.
He was stabbed in the throat. He died almost instantly.
He disappears. Words appear on a black computer screen. Although I hadn't seen him in more than 10 years, I know I'll miss him forever. The adult Gordy stares at the screen and sighs. He sits in a den. Two children walk in.
Dad, can we go now?
One of them wears a beach towel.
You ready?
Yeah, we've been ready for an hour.
He glances at them.
Okay, I'll be right there.
He said that a half hour ago.
Yeah, my dad's weird. He gets like that when he's writing.
They leave, and Gordy looks pensive. He smiles with a hint of melancholy. On the computer screen, words appear. I never had any friends later on like the ones I had when I was 12. Jesus, does anyone? He stands up and stares at the computer screen as he smiles. He turns it off and leaves the den. Outside, the two children play in a courtyard near the Land Rover station wagon, parked under a large tree. End credits. Directed by Rob Reiner. Gordy walks out and starts chasing them playfully. Screenplay by Reynold Gideon and Bruce A. Evans. They run over to the station wagon and get in. Based upon the novella The Body by Stephen King. Produced by Andrew Scheinman, Bruce A. Evans, and Reynold Gideon. The Land Rover drives away.
No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I
by Jack Nitzsche. Starring Will Wheaton as Gordy LeChance. River Phoenix as Chris Chambers. Corey Feldman as Teddy Duchamp. Jerry O'Connell as Vern Tessio. Also starring Kiefer Sutherland as Ace Merrill. Casey Siamasco as Billy Tessio. Gary Riley as Charlie Hogan. Bradley Gregg as Eyeball Chambers. Jason Oliver as Vince Desjardins. Describe video created by John Harbour Productions, Toronto. And Richard Dreyfuss as the writer.